actually an introduction to what we are going to do next time, and that is the minor holidays, memorial days, as set in music. So I will now do a very superficial survey of what there is and what there should be, and I'll use your knowledge of things to introduce some of the songs that we want to do. And we'll start with Hanukkah. Now, Hanukkah is a holiday that historically was celebrated as a very minor affair. The Hanukkiah, there was not a word for Hanukkiah, and people didn't talk about a menorah, but Hanukkah candles. People did light the Hanukkah candles. They said the bracha before that, and they sang Maos Tzu, usually to a very familiar tune that we all know. And that was basically it. Playing the dreidel apparently came not so much from the fact that you had a miracle in Hanukkah, but from the fact that many times Hanukkah fell on Christmas time. And in Christmas time there were some kind of limitations in medieval Jewish thinking and customs. For instance, you were not allowed to study Torah on Christmas. And you were not allowed to do all sorts of things which have some great religious significance. So people played games. And there was a time when people played cards. There were special Hanukkah cards that people used to have. They were called Lamed Aleph, 31 cards. And there was the dreidel, which was a little roulette. And later on, the words on this roulette acquired some kind of miraculous meanings. So the letters on the dreidel were just means of playing. So the nun was, as some interpreted it, as nochamol, that means again. And the gimel was gantz. You get the whole money or whatever it was there. Hay is halb, half, and the shin is shoin. That means you lost. But it was a roulette kind of a thing. Why am I saying that? Because the great songs of Hanukkah started when there was began an awareness of the children's part in Hanukkah, and that was part of the Haskalah, the Enlightenment in Eastern Europe, and the new pedagogical thinking about children. And so some songs at the end of the century, and the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, started being sung in Yiddish for children. You may know one of these songs. O Hanukkah, O Hanukkah. Okay, so and we'll learn many of these songs next time. So there were a few songs like that which were created four children, or as folklore about children. The whole concept of Hanukkah, like the whole concept of Tu B'Shvat, was changed with the Zionist revolution, so to speak, in the cultural revolution that came with Zionism. And Hanukkah became the symbol of what the Zionists called the Jews of the muscles.
Muskeljudentum.
Yeah.
Muskel. Max Nordau.
The Max Nordau, who was the follower of Herzl, Theodor Herzl, actually was a collaborator with Herzl and then follower of the leader of the Zionist movement, he believed that we should forget about our, you know, Luftgeschäften and our overuse of our minds as over against the use of the muscles. And we should become a normal people. A normal people is a people that uses their muscles. And therefore, the Maccabees, who were not very much celebrated in the in our tradition, you don't have in the prayers any mention of the Maccabees, or you have something about Beit Hashmonai, the house of the Hashmoneans, but you don't have the Maccabees. The Maccabees now became great heroes. You should know that the only place where the Maccabees were heroes before the Zionist revolution was the Catholic Church. In the Catholic Church, on the 25th of August, is the day of the Saint Maccabees. And they were considered by the church as prototypes of Christian martyrs. I mean, before the Christian martyrs, Christian martyrdom. So, but in the Jewish, we didn't have Maccabees. Now, with this idea of the revival of the Jews of the muscle, there came a new way of a celebration of Hanukkah, public celebration of Hanukkah. Hanukkah became from a religious holiday to a national holiday. And it changed the entire idea of not only of Hanukkah, but of what we think about the meaning of what the Maccabees did, or what Matityahu was trying to do. And instead of fighting for the religious freedom, Matityahu is fighting for the land of Israel and for the national the reestablishment of the nation. So there were lots of in Israel, actually Palestine at that time, there were lots of processions on Hanukkah and in all the kibbutzim and bigger cities. On the water tower, there was a Hanukkiah lit by the civil authorities, many times without bracha, or if there was a bracha, it was meant as part of the ceremony, but didn't have any religious overtones to it. To these, many songwriters and composers wrote various songs that we sing until this very day, not always knowing what they have behind them.
We included one in the Siddur. We need the Hanukkah somewhere, an empty page. So we chose Mi Yemalel Vorot Yisrael. You know that, yes? Mi Yemalel, yeah. Now the phrase is really Mi Yemalel Vorot Adonai. Who can recount the great deeds of God? And the Zionists changed it. Who can recount the great deeds of the people of Israel? That's, I suppose, the remarkable place to see what actually happened in the thinking. The emphasis.
Exactly. This is really the symbol. This was written by Menashe Ravina. At that time, he was still Menashe Rabinovich, and he changed his name. He was a very famous music critic in Tel Aviv. And he was looking for ways of combining two things. A new text, a new Zionist text with the old melodic style. The old melodic style. So you have the text, which is Mi Yemalel Gvurot Yisrael Otan Mi Yimne, and don't point it out. Mi Yemalel Gvurot, who can retell the might or the powers, mighty deeds of Israel instead of Gvurot Adonai? Otan Mi Yimne, who can count them? Hein Bechol Dor Yakum Agibor Goel Ha'am. In every generation, there rises a hero, the redeemer of the people. Now, what kind of religious thinking is that? It sounds taken out of a Wagner opera rather than any kind of Jewish religious thinking. So there is a hero, and of course when they think about a hero, they had in mind Trumpeldor, who fought for Tel Chai, people like that. So, Hein Becholdor Yakum Hagibor Goel Ha'am. He is the redeemer of the people. Now, we have a redeemer of the people as a person in the religious thinking, and that is the Messiah. But the Messiah will come. It's not in every generation we have a Messiah. In the end of days, Messiah will come and help save the people. But the real Savior is not the Messiah, but God. And then it goes on. Shema, here. Bayamim hahem bazman hazeh. This is taken directly from the... actually from the second bracha of Sha'asa nisim l'avoteinu. Bayamim hahem bazman hazeh. Bayamim ha'em b'zman hazeh, Makabi Moshiach u'fodeh. The Makabi, he is the one who was the Savior and the Redeemer of Israel. But that is not enough. In other words, now we have a different kind of Zionist ideology, and that is we do not rely on one hero. Uv'yameinu kol am Yisrael yit'ached yakum v'igal. And now all the people of Israel will unite. And it will redeem itself. It will rise and redeem itself. So this is certainly a Zionist and in a way anti-religious song, which ironically found its way to various sidurim of the Reform movement, as it did yeah. here, and also in the American sidurim, I'm sure elsewhere too. Because it's the most popular song. Now, let's sing it once and see how it combines the... Right. So it's, if you want, the words are in your Sidurim on page 415, and it is there is a translation of it too. And so let's sing it once. Mi Yemalel Gvurot Yisrael Otam Mi Yimne Hein Becholdor Gvurot Yisrael Otam Oh.
Moshia ufoteh Uvyameinu kol am Yisrael Yikach chet yakum veyikael
Okay, now let's understand a few things. First of all, why is it in canon shape, in a round shape? This is because of the trend during the 1930s to compose many songs for youth movements in a round form. There are many of them. I say there are many of them, and I can't remember even one. There is one. Lo ira meri bevot am asher saviv shatu alai alai, and then kumash. This is for the Mizrahi, the religious youth movement. And there were others that were written for as a canon, so that you can sit around the fire. They didn't eat marshmallows at that time, but potatoes, and sing rounds like that. So that's why it is around. Now the music has two parts. As you know, the first one is in major. And the other one, it tries to tie the music to the past, to Yiddish folk songs. This is what we call the Ukrainian Dorian mode, the Ukrainian Dorian mode, which was common in Eastern European songs. So
no, it makes it you feel at home with it. You feel safe ground.
So I took a little bit of time to discuss this song, although there are many, many other songs, but I think this is a good symbol to understand what happened with the songs of Hanukkah. And the songs of Hanukkah were either songs of ideology, like this one, or songs for little children to be celebrated in the kindergarten, or both. And let me give you an example of an ideological song that was written for or composed for kindergarten, and that is Banu Choshech Legaresh. Okay, let's sing it. And it has choreography. But if you know the song, you have to rise, and we have to do the Banu Choshech with the choreography. Okay, it goes like this. Yeah, you hold a candle or a taper in your hand, and you say, Banu Choshech Legaresh, Beyadeinu Or Va'esh, Kol Echad Hu Or Katan, Vekulanu Or Chetan, Sura Choshech Al Kashko, Sura Mipnei Ha'or. Very well, very well. Thank you. Okay. So what are the words? Yeah.
Which one be? No. This everyone knows.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's just
so we'll learn it. We'll learn it in depth. We'll learn in depth many of these songs next time in a workshop. But banu choshech legaresh. We came to chase out darkness. What does it mean? It's the festival of lights, but the festival of light means that we are going by the light, we're going to chase out darkness. What is the darkness? Who is the darkness? The darkness. You know, if you're Hasidic, you think about darkness and light. There is a certain saying, a Hasidic saying, that a little candlelight can chase a lot of darkness, chase away a lot of darkness. But that's not the idea. The idea is the enlightenment. The enlightenment, meaning the secular thinking, is chasing out religious fanaticism. That's what it is all about. Banu choshech legaresh. We came to chase out darkness. Beyadeinu, in our hands, or va'esh, light and fire. Kol echad, hu or katan. All of us are just but little light. Vechulanu, we are all or eitan, a mighty light. Surah choshech, go away, darkness. Surah choshech, hal ashchor. Shchor is blackness. And blackness always in secular circles it was a symbol of the from a very powerful symbol from the galut, from the exile, to the black hats and the black traditional wearing of the ultra religious. Surah choshech hal ashchor, surah mipnei haor, go away because of the light. The light night is
to exercise haredim.
Yes. No, the idea is to chase away fanaticism, which was equivalent to religious practice as they saw it in, say, in Eastern Europe. So this again is a very powerful and you learn it in kindergarten. You don't think about these things in the kindergarten, but later on it becomes ingrained in you. Another song like that is Anu Nosim Lapidim. Yeah, Anu Nosim Lapidim, which we'll also study. Anu Nosim Lapidim, we carry, how do you say lapid?
Torches.
Torches. Yeah. We carry torches.
Fackles.
We carry torches, Belelot Afelim, in dark nights. Zorchim Ashvilim, Umi Asher Levlo, and whoever has a heart, Vehatzamelao, and he's thirsty for light, may come to us, and we will march. And then it says, Nes lo karalanu, we never had a miracle. Pach shemen lo matzanu, we never found a can of oil. We did it ourselves, and we march up the hill, and we paid a price for it. So that's the idea. And it's a march tune which goes Anu nosim lapidim Belelot afelim Zorchim hashvilim Mitachat eleinu Umi asher leroat zameh laor Yisa et enav velibo Eleinu laor Veyavo. And this song This song talks about torches, and it became also a symbol of Yom HaTzmaut. Why? Because on Yom HaTzmaut, on Mount Herzl ceremony, which begins the Yom HaTzmaut in Israel, there are 12 lights, 12 torches actually being lit by people who represent various factions of...
this year.
Yeah. You're going to be there.
No, I was there.
Oh, you were there. So, in any case, so while these are being lit, a choir used to sing the song Anunos Im Lapidim, and that created a big scandal because the religious factions did not like it at all. So the compromise now is that there is a band or an orchestra playing it, but the words are not mentioned. But everybody knows what it means. It means that our independence was achieved not by prayers, and while these people were waiting for the Messiah, we the Zionists came out and did it. Actually. So that's a very very powerful symbol like that. So there's on one hand you have the ideological songs, and as I said, on the other hand there is the kindergarten song or songs for children, and the songs for children are partially borrowed. The melodies are partially borrowed imitations of the earlier children's songs from Eastern Europe. So you have, for instance, Sevivon Sof Sof Sof. Sevivon Sof 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 Hanukkah Uchatov Hanukkah Uchatov Sevivon Sof 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 Tov 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 Kol Nachon Es Gadol Hayah Hashem.
We must sing the fairy tits of
Okay, so for those of you who didn't have an opportunity to learn this song, you will also learn this song. My attention was drawn to Oferet Yitzchak.
It's a very, very actual song.
It is. It is in a way. I am heartbroken because of that connotation.
Well, it's good to have it.
Yeah. So a song like that, which was based on Eastern European kind of melodic style, is Avi Hidlik Nerot Li.
Bialik.
The text is based on the Bialik song, and the melody is kind of based on Eastern European. Avi Hidlik Nerot Li Veshamash Lo Avuka Veshamash Lo Avuka Yodim Adem Lichvod Ma Yodim Adem Lichvod Ma Yodim Adem Lichvod Ma Lichvod Da Chanukka. So, okay. So, what are the words? My father put on the candles for me, burned the candles for me with a shamash, you know, the shamash candle, and shamash served as a lighting fire. Avuka is a lighting fire or some kind of a very powerful candle. That doesn't matter. Veshamash lo avuka, that rhymes with Chanukah, and that was very good. Yodim otem lichvodma, you know why he did it. Lichvod haChanukah, in honor of Chanukah. Then comes imi afta levivali leviva chama umetuka. You know, you have levivot, and today you have suvganiot, which are not as good as levivot, but it's a different story. Leviva chama umetuka latkes. My mother made some latkes for me. You know what for Chanukah. And then, Dodi, my uncle, Dodi, Dodi asa sevivon li. My uncle made a sevivon, a dreidel for me. Sevivon me'oferet yetzuka. From
Carsley Led.
From
Carsley.
From molten lead.
Kachote lot. And those are special because they're very even in the weight. Others are, you can test them. These are the best ones to play with.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm sorry to say that they chose deliberately in the Israeli army, or the Ministry of Defense, I don't know, chose deliberately the word Oferet Yetzuka from the Song of Hanukkah to as a motto, or how do you call it, for the last war that we had. And I am heartbroken because of that.
But it started in Hanukkah.
Yes, because it was
because started in Hanukkah.
Because it started in Hanukkah, and they used this children's song to design the. And for me, it ruined that song. I mean, I must say, it breaks my heart. They shouldn't have done that. They should not have done it. So we have the other category of songs for Hanukkah, which are children's songs. Now, and the question is, do we have any songs that are ceremonial for Hanukkah? We know most too. In some places, Hanirot Alalu are sung. And nothing else in the Ashkenazi tradition.
Mansur is not in the Sephardic tradition, huh?
No, now it has become a Sephardic tradition because it's generally Israeli. But it's not in the... we'll talk about Maus too, and we'll also talk about some ways of how it is related to Jewish history and so on and so forth. But if you examine the repertoire of songs, ceremonial songs, you have... Maus Tzu. You have the melody of Maus Tzu, which was sung in Western synagogues, that means German-speaking countries. They used to sing it on a piyut, which is called Shnei Zaitim. And we'll talk about that in next time. And there is Al HaNisim, from the prayer of the not that no. What are you talking about? You people are all corrupt by the Zionist propaganda. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
But then Maus Tzu is also borrowed.
Yeah. Well, the melodies was a common melody. Okay. There is Al HaNisim ve'Al HaNiflaot ve'Al HaTshuot, which is part of the Amidah service. And that is the Al HaNisim had very limited musical treatment. But, and we'll do that next time too, Sephardic Jews have a few very nice piyutim for Hanukkah, which I would like to introduce. I'll introduce two of them. Hanukkah piyutim that they sing while lighting the candles. And in a Sephardic tradition, there is a little bit of more celebration because they sing also Psalm number 30, Mizmor Shir Hanukkah Tabayit LeDavid. So I'll introduce some a melody for that as well. Next time. Okay, so that's about Hanukkah. Then we go in the calendar, we go to Tu Bishvat. And Tu Bishvat is also that kind of celebration. Now, Tu Bishvat in earlier days was actually a mark of Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot. Why is it Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot? Not as usually you hear in all sorts of statements that spring begins in Israel on Tu Bishvat. That is exactly not the case, unfortunately, I can tell you that from experience. This midwinter in Israel, the spring does not begin there. It's true that the shaked, the shkedia, the almond tree, begins to blossom there. But the reason why it was selected as the beginning of the year for the trees was because of the tides. In other words, this is the time when there's nothing on the trees. You're absolutely sure it's midwinter, there's nothing on the trees, and from here you can count the fruits that will come for next year. So, to bring as actually presents to the gifts, maaser, to
the tendons.
To the temple. So that's why it was designated. There were a discussion between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai whether it should be on the first of Shabbat or on the 15th of Shabbat. Finally, it's on the 15th of Shabbat. So that did not have any particular significance until the 16th century, where the Kabbalists started to put Kabbalistic meanings into that holiday.
Was the holiday?
It was not a holiday.
It was tax date, yeah?
Yeah, it was a date.
Fiscal year.
And they introduced the mystical aspect of the fruits of Eretz Israel, the fruits of the land of Israel. And they developed a Seder Tu Bishvat, in which you're supposed to eat from the fruits of Eretz Israel. And there's a whole way of ceremony of the eve of Tu Bishvat, which is similar to the Seder. And you do all sorts of things which have Kabbalistic symbols. So, for instance, on that Seder...
We could do that next weekend. Do something more about the theory.
We'll talk more about that in there. I'll show you how Seder Tu Bishvat is done. And for instance, you instead of four cups of wine, as the Seder of Pesach, in imitation of it, there are cups of wine and water. And the idea is to combine wine and water, where wine is red and water is white, and wine symbolizes the powers of God, the powers of judgment of God, and water, the powers of mercy. And they have to come together in the Kabbalistic idea in order for the world to exist. The world cannot exist by judgment alone, nor can it exist by grace alone. Therefore, we need both of them. So that's a Kabbalistic idea, and that's part of the Seder, of Seder Tu Bishvat. And from then on, people started eating fruits of Israel in that. Ironically enough, all the fruits of Israel that people eat in Israel now come from Turkey. On Tu Bishvat. And some of the pistachio come from Iran. You shouldn't tell anybody, but they come directly from Iran.
How did they do it in earlier years? Because it takes that day, because there is nothing on the tree.
Yeah, true, but all of these were dried fruit.
Okay.
All of these were dried fruit. So instituted that, the Seder Tu Bishvat. Now came the Zionists and gave it a new meaning. And the meaning is that we are replanting trees in the land of Israel. And from the 1930s, there was a particular date, I can't remember exactly, I think it was 1929, when the teachers' committee for the Jewish National Fund decided to have a plantation day on Tu Bishvat, and that they had processionals doing that. The kids went to the places where you can plant trees, and they planted little saplings for Tu Bishvat. And this is done until this very day. The only one problem there is that Tu Bishvat, midwinter, is not the right time to plant trees. But so because of that, there are many problems caused by this plantation of Tu Bishvat, but still it remains the holiday of planting trees in Israel.
Problems not important as long as the ideology is right.
That's absolutely And songs were created for Tu Bishvat. For instance, okay. כך הולכים השוטלים רוב בלב ועד ביד מן העיר ומן הכפר מן העמק מן הער בטו בשבט בטו בשבט בטו בשבט אוקיי? טו 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 בשבט אוקיי, אין אשקדיה פורחת אשקדיה פורחת ושמש פרחת ציפורים מבשרות את בורך
טו בשבט הגיע חגי גדול טו בשבט הגיע חגי גדול
So you got the idea. You got the idea. Now we come to Purim. What? Yeah, I'm sorry. Annette says something. Annette mentioned something which is very... Now Tu Bishvat has changed its nature, and it's now the celebration of the environment. Environment. Ecological. Yeah. Now Tu Bishvat is becoming more and more ecologically oriented.
Very nice is the spirituality of the four elements that you have. Everybody has inside fire and water.
Okay, so that is a re-enactment of the Kabbalistic ideas, but in a new age thing. Okay, so Tu Bishvat is bound to change all sorts of things. But so I don't know. I'm sorry to say that I don't know new age songs for Tu Bishvat yet. But maybe we'll find something. Maybe Annette could bring us some. I really don't know. But in any case, we come to Purim. As we heard, Purim was a very controversial kind of holiday. In the tradition, which did not worry about these things, a traditional celebration of Purim was reading the Megillah, of course, reading the Megillah in the synagogue, reading the Megillah, and on the day of Purim there was Seudat Purim, the great feast of Purim, where you eat a lot and drink a lot, of course, and there are many songs which were created for Seudat Purim. In addition to that, the custom was that on Purim you would have a theater. In other words, there was a Purim Spiel. People used to form little groups, and they would go from house to house and present a short reenactment of a biblical story, not necessarily the Purim story, but sometimes Mechirat Yosef, the selling of Joseph, was also a very popular thing. It had nothing to do with Purim, but it had something to do with theater. So various songs were created for that. And then came the idea of the carnival, the connection of Purim and the carnival. It is very interesting that in the East, in Muslim countries, people did not know about masking themselves on Purim. And the question is, why did the Ashkenazi Jews, the European Jews, adopt this kind of... And that happens that Purim is very much into the days of the carnival. Not every year, but in many years, the carnival. So the carnival became the fashion of wearing dresses or disguising oneself to various characters and so on. And you know that there is a saying that why is Purim and Kippurim similar? I said very very similar. Kippurim is you can read the word Kippurim not as it is right to read, but Kippurim Kippurim like Purim. So why is Yom Kippur like Purim? They say that on Purim Jews used to disguise themselves to goyim, and on Yom Kippurim the goyim like Jews disguise themselves as Jews. So that was a very kind of saying. But in any case, the idea of Purim songs and disguises all brought various songs about the customs and about the theater in Purim. So we'll see a few songs like that. And of course, there are many children's songs in Israel. Purim became a time of real carnivals. They had carnivals in Tel Aviv and other places. And you have Ani Purim, Ani Purim, Sameach Umbadeach, Ha-ha-ha-pam, Bashana, Ha-molich, Dareach. So that's okay. I don't want to go into that. There are many songs like that. Yeah, there are still, yeah. Now in Cholon. Cholon has the biggest one. Okay. So this is briefly about Purim. Again, Purim became from a festival of miracles to a festival of carnival, and we'll learn songs on either side of Purim. Then we come to Yom Atzmaut. Yom Atzmaut, and there was from the very beginning there were all sorts of attempts to find ways to celebrate. Now the celebration took two kinds of thinking. One was military, and the other one was emphasizing building the country. So many songs for Yom Atzmaut were songs that really created for the army in various ways. For instance, Shira Palmach, the song of the Palmach groups of the commando. Misaviv Yehom Masaha Achosheinu Lo Yishvach Tifkudat Tamid Anachnu Tamid Anu Anu HaPalmach. Okay, things like that. And other songs were created about building Israel, which, for instance, now a song which is now resented is Beharim Kvar Hashemesh Melahetet. Beharim Kvar Hashemesh Melahetet Uvahem Mekot Zoref Hatar So this song is how we're going to build the country. And one verse there says, "Nalbishech simlat beton v'melet." We will dress you, our beloved country, with concrete and cement. And unfortunately, that became true. And so now. people are very much aware of, you know, ecological things and are not very happy about Nalbishech Simlat Beton Bamelech. But there are many songs about recreating the country. Now, in the religious factions, the idea of Yom HaTzmaut as a religious as a religious holiday started with trying to replace Hatikva with Shir HaMaalot Beshuv Adonai Et Shivat Tzion. There was an attempt to use that psalm when Beshuv Adonai Et Shivat Tzion, when God returned unto Zion. And the there were two melodies which competed, but the melody that almost won the entire religious faction, the religious national faction, may I say, is Ashir HaMaalot Beshuv Adonai, which was created much earlier, and it was became famous because Yossel Rosenblatt, a famous cantor, sang it on records. And so that almost, you know, if it were for the religious factions, they would have replaced Hatikva. Hatikva was not considered a good national anthem by the religious faction because it says Li Yotam Chofshi Be'Artzenu, to be a free country, free nation in our land. Now the word Chofshi at the time of the creation of the state of Israel was anti-religious. A man who is anti-religious is called Chofshi. That means a man who is free from the mitzvot.
Predator.
Okay? So, Liyotam Chofshi Be'Artzenu was considered a bad thing, therefore, the hymn should sing. So, there are some religious songs for Yom HaTzmaut which were created, and we learn some of them.
Al Goel.
Hmm?
Al-Qur'el was also
a
idea of replacing
Al-Qur'el. No, that was not seriously considered. Never considered. Now today there are various people who think that we should change the Atikva because Israel is not only a nation of the Jews. A country of the Jews, but we have non-Jews there, and why should we force upon them an anthem which is not in their ideology or something like that? But this debate is going on. But in any case, this about the minor holidays for. Tisha B'Av, we learn some of the kinot for Tisha B'Av and the lamentations. Most importantly is Elitzion Ve'Area. Elitzion Ve'Area, Kemo Isha Ve'Tzirea, Rekiv Tula Chagur Latzak. And these are there's some old melodies like that. And if we are able to do more on Yom HaShoah, we'll select a few of the most important songs for Yom HaShoah. For instance, Stille, Stille. Stille, 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 vor im wachsen door. This was written by a boy, Alexander Volkovisky, in the Vilna ghetto when he was 11 years old, and he received a second prize for that song. There was a competition in the ghetto while the Nazis were there. There were musical activities, and a competition of songs, and he won second prize. The first prize is forgotten. We don't even know the words or the melody, but the second prize song is a very important Yom HaShoah song, and we'll have a selection of this. So this is only a preview of what we're going to have next workshop.
Okay.